If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hey folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 101 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on March 7th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Peter Mandel.
Hey Kevin, what's up?
I kind of spat your name too. Peter Mandel.
Joy of Skype, Peter, I didn't feel
Say
it, don't spray it.
You're kind of Peter Pan. Like, you're the Peter Pan of this show.
Am I?
I mean, your name's Peter.
Oh, that's true.
Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
Great show last week.
It was fun, yeah. Liked it.
Got such amazing feedback from our listeners about our interview with Disney legend Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy, which if you want to go back, folks, it's episode 100 of Two Men and the Mouse, just 1 week ago. The interview actually got picked up in the mainstream media. Bunch of Kingdom Hearts news websites, because they are so clamoring for any news on Kingdom Hearts 3, picked up the story. And because of it, our episode in 1 week got 12,000 downloads, Peter Mandel.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was an interesting week at the office.
That's pretty neat.
So, yep. So, what do you got going on?
Not much.
When's that Haunted Mansion comic book coming out?
Wednesday, although I'll have it tomorrow because it's Tuesday. So when I get my books, I'm going to rip the boxes open so I can read it.
Right. Are you going to like text me? Did you get the variant cover?
Of course. Come on, Kevin.
How many issues did you have to order to get the variant cover?
The way they do, it's a tiered system. I had to order like X amount more than I ordered of a certain issue of Figment. Mm-hmm. So it was manageable. I didn't have to go crazy.
It's not like Figment where you had 50 copies of it.
No, I do not have 50 copies of this. Although, to be honest with you,
this worked out. Like,
what?
The Figment thing worked out when you had 50 copies of it.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Because you
was
were
nice.
Like the one place where everybody came in
to
get Figment. Listeners were having you were ordering them online from you.
Yeah, it was good.
You were the only one that had it. So, folks, if you're looking for the Haunted Mansion comic book this week, go over to Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey. Also, by the way, it's March, which can only mean one thing coming up, which hopefully, I don't know if they're doing it again this year, but March Magic coming up.
Oh, yeah, I hope they do it.
Yeah. Like, I'm all about that. I want the t-shirts again, too.
Like, I know, we're going to have to get I guess we can't split them this time.
I mean, we could. You could just ship me mine. When it comes in.
That's true.
But I can't, like, I want to rock mine around the parks. Like, that's going to be awesome. Like, I still get, I get lots of compliments on my my Figment shirt.
I wore my Haunted Mansion one in the parks this time. I think it's the first time I've ever done that.
I told you when we ordered them, I had problems with that Haunted Mansion shirt.
Why?
Because it's Gracie Manor Ghouls, so it's Magic Kingdom, Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion, but it's the Hatbox Ghost.
I know, but I love the Hatbox Ghost.
Yeah, but it's not, like, it's like the, that's like the Bulls coming out with the mascot for, like, the Eagles. Different sport completely. Different team.
I get that. I mean, same sport, different teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's still Haunted Mansion.
Whatever. Yeah, I guess. All right. So, before we get into the news this week, I wanted to just say one other thing. I've talked on the show before about my novel, Rocinante, which I've been working on. Pete, I came up with the idea for this book when I was 15 years old.
And that's a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm 30 now. So these characters have literally lived in my head for half of my life.
Okay.
And we're shooting for Memorial Day as a release. So it will be available in on ebook form, and you can order paperbacks online as well. But also, they will be available at Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey.
That's right.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe not right for Memorial Day, because I don't know how long it'll take me to get them and get them to you. But it's the first retail location where you can buy by Rocinante, a tale of dragons and sorcery in a medieval steampunk setting. So
I'm assuming those are going to show up signed, I hope.
Of course they will. Yeah, and yeah, at Pete's store you can buy them signed. So also, if you want to just like follow along with that, and if you want more info about it, as because pre-orders are going to start next month, so you can go over to facebook.com/ Kevin J. Kessler author, and you could like the page there, and that will. It's kind
of you need like a t-shirt or even like a windbreaker that says your name and underneath says author.
My assistant and I are actually talking about swag, so
yeah, that'd be nice.
Like how to get that. Okay, so ready for the news?
Yes.
The news, as always, folks, brought to you by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. That's Dave Weikert, Walt Disney World expert and now Universal Studio expert. And we are very pleased to announce Dave Weikert will be in studio with us next week to answer your email questions. So please send questions. We're particularly looking for questions about Universal Studios for next week's show. Obviously, still send your Disney questions as well. But, we're able to do both Disney and Universal questions as Dave is now a Universal expert. So, and also, folks, if you want to keep up with the Disney news as the week goes on, check out a partner and friend of the show, Passholder.club, which has all your latest Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, and other Orlando attractions such as SeaWorld and whatnot, all over there at www.passholder.club. You can also find Two Men and the Mouse there. They stream Two Men and the Mouse directly to Passholder.club. All right, so worldwide news. We're going to go broad to start off. I figure we'll change it up a little bit. 101 episodes, might as well throw a monkey wrench.
New start, right?
Right, right. This is how we start every episode. Okay, so the Purple Magic Band is now available. This is a big deal.
Okay.
It's now, because it was available. You can get, the Haunted Mansion, Purple Magic Band, for a couple months now. But, now, when my assistant and I went to Disney yesterday, and she bought her annual pass, and as we're there, I'm looking behind the counter, and I'm seeing the Magic Bands all, on that little rack thing at the ticket booth, mm-hmm. and the purple one's there.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I freaked out, and then when I looked on our group, facebook.com/group/2menandthemouse, Tim Elbing had actually just posted the news article that the Purple Magic Band was now available.
Well, let me ask you a question, not completely off topic, but somewhat. Mm-hmm. When you go to Disney all the time,
yeah.
Do you see a lot of people with these, with custom Magic Bands?
Yes, it's a big thing now because there are lots of Etsy shops that actually produce, stickers and stuff that you could put on them.
But I mean the ones that they make there, the ones you pay.
Oh, yeah, actually, a lot. I see, like the Kylo Ren one. Like, I saw Kylo Ren Magic Bands everywhere. I see the Sorcerer Mickey one everywhere. Yeah.
I looked when I went on vacation. I hardly saw anyone with them.
I see a lot of them, man. I really do. A lot of annual pass holders get them too because.
Well, I get that.
Like I have a Haunted Mansion one.
Right.
I definitely see them. And my next one, when I renew my pass in July and I get another Magic Band, I'm going to get the purple one because I love purple's my favorite color.
Is it really?
It is actually. Yeah.
Oh wow.
In the last couple of months, purple has become my favorite color. It's regal. It's royal. Worked for Prince. Okay, so a photo pass is coming to Run Disney events this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you want a shot of yourself rocking that race bib to, you know, make sure that no food gets on your shirt, you can use PhotoPass for that now. It's going to start at the Star Wars Half Marathon this April, and it will be part of the Memory Maker for any of the runners. So,
do they have, like, magic shots?
That's I don't know about that. That would be awesome if they did.
Be pretty cool, right?
I mean, I would assume, like, their PhotoPass photographers will be, like, at like the with like the characters and stuff.
But what if, like, you know, they had a picture of you running and, like, you know, they had like stormtroopers chasing
like
you.
Shere
or
Khan is like,
or there's like
you
a, what about you're running and there's a giant AT-AT behind you, like on the lawn behind you.
I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I would absolutely love that.
Like, and he's like blasting like lasers down the stairs, like explosions.
Right, and they deflect off your race bib because they're laser proof.
Well, they are laser proof.
Because they're bibs.
Right.
I want my race bib to say mommy's little monster.
or storm pooper.
Yes. I made a Darth Duty. Okay, so two new ships are joining the fleet for the Disney Cruise Line. This is big news for a lot of listeners, not so much for you, Peter Mandel, but bear with me. It was announced by Bob Iger. These two new ships are going to be debuting in the fleet, which is going to now be a fleet of six vessels. And that will be one of them in 2021 and the other one in 2023. They haven't announced the names yet, but they are larger than the Disney Dream and the Disney Fantasy, which are the two largest ships in the fleet thus far. So that's big.
Only a matter of time before we have a Death Star.
I know. I would like to, if one of these ships is like Star Wars themed, like it doesn't look like a normal Disney cruise. It's like the Star Wars cruise. They've been doing Star Wars cruises on the Disney Cruise Line. Like
I've heard about that.
But like, I want the ship to look like the Death Star. I want it to look like a Star Destroyer, actually. Make a cruise ship. Oh, my God. Make a cruise ship that looks like a Star Destroyer.
It could work.
Like, right? Like, can't you see it?
People. And like, Jar Jar is like, you're like, you know,
Misa
captain.
Wanted to let you know Misa going to hit some turbulence. Pete, we're going to be rich. Oh, wait, we can't capitalize on that because it's Star Wars. Okay, so two big new features are also coming to My Magic Plus. Now, this is a big one. This one will actually affect you.
Okay.
You, as of this spring, you will have the ability to make your additional FastPass selections from your app. No more going to the kiosks and waiting on that long line.
Oh, it's about time.
Right? Like, that's a long time coming. So after you use your initial three fast passes that you can book in advance, folks, you can make additional fast passes one at a time. Now what they're doing is you usually have to go to a kiosk. And like if you use your three fast passes at Magic Kingdom and you're going to Epcot next and you wanted to fast pass, you know, anything there, like the one with the land or something like that. Because let's face it, you're not getting Soarin', you're not getting Test Track that late in the day. Come on. Where do you think you are, people? Come on. Like you have to wait until you get to Epcot and go to the kiosk there. Like you can't like just make them there. So now you're going to be able to make them directly from your app.
Let me ask you a question. Aside from maybe Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Like when you go on a normal day and you use
How often do you use the additional fast passes?
Do you go and make additional ones?
Not usually.
I don't either.
Yeah. Like the three, like, and we were like, oh, three, what the heck? Like, three usually does it for me.
Well, I mean, I would do it if I, you know, still had the old system. But first off, Animal Kingdom, Studios, Epcot, you don't have to. There's nothing else to fast pass there.
Right. Like, sometimes I'm like, three, God, what's the other one? Like,
right. I mean, yes, I mean, you would love to go get Soarin or something, but you're not gonna. So, of the nonsense ones that are left, you're not gonna do it. But even Magic Kingdom, I mean, if you know how to navigate the park, granted, I also go at a time where it's not extremely crowded, but if you know how to navigate the park, you'd be okay.
You're all right. The other thing that's rolling out is the addition of Disney Story Maker, which is the interactive component of the Magic Bands that was supposed to roll out 2 years ago when they first rolled out My Magic Plus, but didn't because there were other like issues that they had to take care of. So now this is basically where like your kid goes to meet a princess or goes to meet Mickey and they know your kid's name.
Okay.
Like when they scan their magic band in, your whole story is put up there. They're also saying, like, at Small World, like, they're going to do, like, an interactive, like, goodbye scene at Small World coming up.
And it'll, oh, like E.T.?
Yeah, and it'll have kind of, like, not, like, with names, but, like, places where you're from.
Okay.
So, yeah. But the one thing that they were saying was that Mickey might actually say your name. So, talking Mickey might actually say your child's name.
I know they can do it.
They can do it.
They can do it because I told you I actually videoed my very like I when I did the beta for Talking Mickey,
mm-hmm.
I like videoed it, which apparently they weren't happy about afterwards. But I don't know why anyone just told me to stop. Right. But they said like they asked like now in this case Mickey asked Ethan and Abby's name, but then he like spoke to them and like said their name.
Yeah, because that's how it used to be. Like for, I don't know when it turned around from being he's actually talking to a list of pre-recorded, you know,
right.
Because I was so excited when I saw Talking Mickey and then I realized that he was, you know, just saying sound bites.
Right.
Okay, so that's the worldwide news. There was quite a bit. We got Magic Kingdom news. The Big Thunder Mountain refurbishment has been pushed back. This 4-month refurbishment originally scheduled for April the 4th has been pushed back to August 8th, Peter Mandel.
Huh, wonder why.
I guess, I bet you they decided they didn't want to close for the whole summer. So that is going to be August 8th until November 19th, and it is rumored that they will be adding in the Disneyland refurbishment with the fire and all that good stuff.
Is that rumored by us?
No, I've read it on a couple sites that that's like the big rumor. A 4-month refurbishment, okay, like they're doing more than skimming that.
Right.
Right. So Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin is closing for a refurbishment this month. It is closing March the... it closed yesterday, March the 6th, and will be reopening March the 10th, so in just a few days.
It's so weird. I mean, it was closed when I was there.
Yeah, no, they're skimming it. Doing a little skimming. Now, here's the bit of news this week that has me kind of scratching my head. Again, we are not, you know, Disney executives, so we don't really know, like, the inner workings of the company and what goes on, but this seems a little odd to me. The characters from Zootopia are coming to the Magic Kingdom, but not for meet and greets. They're only going to be in a dance party. There is no meet and greet experience for Zootopia that's going to be anywhere in Disney World. Disneyland has got a meet and greet, but Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps are only going to be featured in the Move It, Dance It, Play It dance party, which also known as the thing that I hate the most in the Magic Kingdom because I hate that vamos, vamos. Like, come on, no, stop. It is so they're just going to be there. It's like your kid, like this movie. I know neither of us have seen it yet, but this movie had the biggest opening of any Disney animated film of all time. Beat out Frozen in its opening, and there's no meet and greet. You can't meet. It used to be where we were saying before we went on the air. Back in the day, by back in the day, we mean 2 years ago. You were able to meet these characters 2 weeks or to a month before their movie came out.
Yeah.
Because you met... and yes, there was that space for them in Hollywood Studios that doesn't exist anymore.
But which like, I loved.
You met Baymax and Hero before the movie, before Big Hero 6.
I remember meeting Lotso on the day that Toy Story 3 came out.
Oh, yeah. We all remember that story.
That was no good.
Yeah. Oh, the trauma. By the way, did you hear that there's a Big Hero 6 cartoon show coming next year?
Oh, that'd be cool.
It's an Big Hero 6, the animated series.
Report. It lends itself to it beautifully.
Completely. Like, of all the Disney movies to do an animated series for, that's the one.
Agreed.
Yep. Okay, so Epcot news. So, yeah, so the Zootopia thing is ridiculous. Let kids meet these characters. They clearly want to. Epcot news. Finding Dory characters are going to be joining Turtle Talk with Crush this summer.
Cool.
Yep, they're actually putting in Destiny the Whale Shark. Bailey the beluga whale, Hank the septopus, and Dory herself will all be in it.
That's pretty cool.
I'm sure it's going to be like a pass through kind of thing. Like they won't be in the whole show, but it's kind of neat that they're giving Crush like an extended, you know, show now. Changing it up a little bit.
Have you ever done that?
Turtle Talk once.
Yeah, once.
Once I watched it from the back, obviously.
Right.
In DAC news, Disney's Animal Kingdom. Rivers of Light's opening date has been set, Peter Mandel. And it is exciting.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be April 22nd, Earth Day. And they showed a preview of the lighting effects for the show. And it looks like nothing we've ever seen before.
Yeah, it looked pretty great.
Yeah. I actually have a connection through a friend that I made. So I might actually be able to get into some of the soft openings for Rivers of Light. So I might be able to I don't know if you can periscope a soft opening, but if so, I will do so. But yeah, I will definitely be there on the 22nd, but I might be able to see it beforehand.
Well, that'd be cool.
Report back on it. Oh, by the way, speaking of Epcot, because that's it for TAC News. Speaking of Epcot, I went to Flower and Garden this weekend.
Okay, and?
Remember how we always said, like, Flower and Garden's a mini food and wine festival now?
Yeah.
It's not so mini anymore. It's just food and wine festival now.
Really?
Dude, I would say, like, I didn't count, but it seemed to me like every single kiosk was back out. Like, the actual food and wine kiosks were back out with new signs and new menus. It's food and wine again.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Like, I only tried one thing. I tried it was like a corned beef that was like brined in pear, like pear brandy or something like that. And like, it was so good. Like, it had like cabbage in it and stuff like that. It was so, so good. It was at the UK Pavilion. But I was looking at some of the other stuff they had. They had a whole bunch of really great things there. One of which, they have a sparkling pineapple wine, and it's like a little 8-ounce glass. Costs $11.
Ooh.
Like, that wine better, like, because I'm not even sure I would like sparkling pineapple wine. Like, if it was $5 or even $6 or $7, I'd probably be like, yeah, I could, you know what, I'll try it.
You could, like, melt a Dole Whip and just add some water to it. And,
seriously.
You know.
Add some seltzer water to it so it sparkles.
Yeah, you'd be good.
Yeah. But the topiaries are awesome. The Pooh Bear ones are my favorite. They were great. They have a great Donald, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, like, right when you walk in the park. There's a great Chip and Dale one that actually has, like, a waterfall on it.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, a real running waterfall. And they have, like, sandwiches and stuff that they're eating, and Mickey is a park ranger's on the other side of it, and there's a great Goofy, there's a great Minnie and Pluto, Daisy is right up front. Daisy and Donald and Huey, Dewey, and Louie are right up front when you walk in, and then as you go around, you've got, like, Belle and Beast in France, Cinderella and Prince Charming in France, Snow White over in Germany, etc., etc., etc.
Did they do any gargoyles topiaries?
No. Why would they have done that?
I don't know. Wouldn't that be neat?
It would be amazing. Like, I want more gargoyles in my everyday life, but...
Right.
Like, you know, like, they have gargoyles, like, on Cinderella Castle? Like, why... Like, when that show was big, why didn't they just put, like, Goliath, like, sleeping up there?
Seriously, I know.
Bum, 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 ba-da-da. Now I really want to watch Gargoyles.
You should. It's awesome.
Why is it nowhere? Like, it's not on Netflix. It's not on Hulu. It's
I know.
Gargoyles is nowhere. Like, give us our gargoyles back. Okay, so in Disney's Hollywood Studios news, brought to you by thecookandwookie.com for all your recipe needs. The Cook and Wookie, it's thecookinwookie.com. There is going to be a sneak peek of The Jungle Book, the live-action Jon Favreau-directed movie, taking place in Hollywood Studios in the site of Walt Disney One Man's Dream, replacing the Zootopia preview, because obviously that's out. So that is going to be opening on March the 18th. And that's the news this week, Peter Mandel.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad. Not a bad week of news, right? Getting back into the swing of things for this you know, next 100 episodes. So
this is when they start kicking the news up because it's almost peak season, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So we are going to take a quick commercial break, and then we are going to be back. We're going to first hear from our wonderful sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, and then we'll be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. It sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weicker autograph books.
Of course.
All Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weicker.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. Do you want to embrace the inner gourmet in your life? Do you tire of a life of hot dogs, ramen noodles, and Pop-Tarts? Do you long to wow your loved ones with homemade delicious meals and chuck that kid cuisine in the trash? Well, good thing we've got thecookandwookie.com. The Cook and Wookie is a food and recipe blog designed to walk you through recipes that will dazzle your dinner table. Tim Elbing is our Wookie host, and he will take you on a culinary journey that will make you and all of your dinner guests thankful at your next Life Day feast. So let the Wookie win your loyalty, folks, and head over to thecookandwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com. Fire up your oven, and may the forks be with you.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Folks, it is the 101st episode of Two Men and a Mouse. 101, if you will. And Peter Mandel, I don't know if you are aware, but when a ride goes under refurbishment in Walt Disney World, do you know what they say?
I do know what they say.
They say that it's 101. That is the code for ride down for refurbishment.
So you're saying we're going to refurbish the entire show?
Yes, we are refurbishing the whole show. No, for our 101st episode, I thought it'd be kind of cool to kind of work with the 101 concept. And that is why this week we are talking about refurbishments. We are talking about rides that went down, that went 101 and came back up once they were 102, which is 102 means reopen, bigger and better than ever. So that is why we are, this week, for our e-ticket attraction of the week, counting down the top 10 refurbishments and revitalizations of attractions in Walt Disney World. So, and the e-ticket attraction this week is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Pay less, Be more comfortable and stroll in style on your next Disney vacation by visiting kingdomstrollers.com. Okay, so number 10 is one. This is number 10 because it's A, it's controversial, and B,
okay.
You've never seen it.
Okay.
But I happen to like it, so sue me. I thought it was better than the original, and I was pissed when it left.
Let me guess what it is. It's, wait, what's my Michael Jackson movie that I like?
Captain EO.
It's Captain EO when they brought it back with the behind-the-scenes footage in the beginning.
No. It is Enchanted Tiki Room under new management. So for the first time since the 60s, they updated the Enchanted Tiki Room. And they, you know, they added Iago and Zazu into it. And made a whole new show where, you know, Iago and Zazu were the new owners of the Enchanted Tiki Room. And Iago came in and he sang this awesome version of Friend Like Me. You are
any of
boring.
Us that own the album all know it.
You are boring tiki birds. I'm a big celebrity. I loved it. And then the tiki gods like blow him up at the end. And he actually did catch on fire one night.
I know.
Yeah. Which is like, you know, people were like, the tiki gods are actually upset.
Isn't that actually what kind of did away with it? Like eventually wasn't the fire bad enough that they had to refurb it and they went back to the original?
I think so. I mean, something like that. I think I'd heard. But I enjoyed it. I thought it added a contemporary spin to a classic. You still got the Tiki Bird song right in the beginning, which really, how many other songs other than the Tiki 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 Room do you walk out singing after the Enchanted Tiki Room? Right?
I agree with that.
So yeah, my number 10, the Enchanted Tiki Room under new management.
Now, did people like the under new management, or is it just you?
People didn't. It's just me. People didn't like it.
Okay.
People missed the Tiki Room. These are probably the same people that don't go to the Tiki Room now.
Right. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. So for number 9, originally my number 9 was much higher on the list, and Pete was like, Kevin, no. It's got to be number 9. It can't be above this, this, and this. So number 9 is O Canada, Circle Vision movie in the Canada Pavilion.
I can't believe that's even on our list.
You know Canada has a near and dear place to my heart.
I do know that.
Yeah. Oh, Canada, and listen, I remember in the beginning of the show, there was a huge controversy where I said I hated Martin Short.
Okay, I do remember that.
You remember that?
I remember thinking that was crazy.
I ate my words because, like, you know what? I went back and I watched this again, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. So it used to just be a very cut and dry, like, this is Canada. Like, see, I can do voices like Bill Farmer. My soothing announcer voice. His were so much better. Go back and listen, folks. Puts me to shame. But when they redid O Canada, they had Martin Short, who is a Canadian national treasure, come in and do it. And they added in the Canada Your Lifetime Journey song, which is just tremendous. What?
Does Martin Short sing it?
No, he doesn't. Oh. Have you never gone to O Canada?
Never.
It's so good. And it's
I believe you.
And it's circle vision, so you can like look all around. And like there's humor in it. It's fun. You see so many gorgeous, breathtaking views of Canada. I love it.
I've been to Canada many times.
Oh, see, I've never.
So I enjoy Canada.
Okay.
I don't necessarily need to see a movie about it.
It's a lifetime journey for the traveler.
Who hasn't been.
Right. So number 8, we're sticking with the motif of World Showcase attractions here. Number 8 is the Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros.
Now, that one, I think, is deservingly on the list.
Yes, deservingly on the list. Because, you know, originally, again, just a very cut-and-dry boat ride through Mexican culture. Add in Donald Duck and Jose... Jose Carreras and Panchito?
Although, I do feel like... sometimes I do miss the original.
Yeah?
I'm not crazy. Not like, oh, the original's better. It's not. But, like, you know, the Mexican market day and stuff. Sometimes I miss it a little
bit.
Listen,
you don't get a great sense of Mexican culture because you're just focusing on Donald Duck.
Right.
But, and they just refurbed it again and they added in. Did you go on it this trip?
I did, yeah.
They added in the animatronics at the end?
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I love it. Now, I like having a physical animatronic in there at the end now.
Me too. It's very cool.
Yeah, instead of just, like, the TV. Because then I don't feel like I'm just watching TV, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, number 8, the Grand Fiesta Tour. You know, would you say it's a must-do every trip for you when you go through Mexico?
Oh, I don't think I've ever gone to Disney World and not done it.
I've seen it with a line a lot recently, though.
Yeah, we were there this trip, and there was a long line. It was like out into like the like market area, but it goes so fast.
Like you get it where you just like walk right through.
But I usually walk right through.
Yeah, always. But then like sometimes, once in a while though, the stars align and it's pretty rough.
Yeah, you'd be all right.
Yeah. Okay. So number 7 is one. Now this isn't anything they added. This is something that was taken away from an attraction that put it on the list.
When
they
Very interesting.
It. Yeah, right? When I brought it up, you were like, ah, really? And then I was like, no, dude, yeah. And that was Kilimanjaro Safaris and the removal of Big Red and Little Red.
Right.
And the poachers, the imaginary poachers.
Yeah, unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary and a little unnerving, to be perfectly honest. Because
I applaud Disney for their, always wanting to have like story and all that. But this is something that
exactly like this is these are real animals in real situations. Like it didn't need to have a story, and it got to the point where like when they were like, "Hey guys, you want to go catch some poachers?" I'm like, "No."
Where the guns at?
Yeah, we did. We're not going to go back into that. That was one of our more famous friends.
That was like one of your favorite episodes.
For the life of me, I don't remember which episode it was, so I can't even go back and listen to it.
Well, you just got to listen to all 100 all over again.
Yeah, exactly. And then like you get the little animatronic elephant at the end, and whatever. Like, they still have the Big Red and Little Red like sign out front when you walk through the queue, and Wilson still talks about poaching and stuff before you get in there, and they do. It goes ignored by the. By the driver, but there is still like a poaching location where they have like a bunch of elephant tusks and rhino horns like on a table like in the middle of the safari. And I was like, shouldn't we be doing so? Shouldn't like you call that in? Like that right, seems,
what was that over there?
That seems like pretty blatant evidence of poaching.
My driver has eagle eyes and can see anything.
Seriously,
except for
you
this.
You spotted that cheetah up on that ridge? It's so far away I need a pair of binoculars to see it. But you're telling me these elephant tusks that are sitting here, freshly carved from Jumbo's face, you're telling me that these are going beyond your notice? Let's be honest here, Jolene. Come on.
Next time you sit in the front, Kevin, you have to point it out.
Talk about conservation all you want. I am not giving my money to the Disney Nature Fund while such blatant poaching is being done right here in Orlando, Florida.
You just have to point and scream, what is that?
Oh, the humanity of it all. That's why there's only one elephant over there. I knew we didn't see black rhinos because they're like, oh, it's one of only 5,000 black rhinos in existence. Less now. Look at that. Look at that table. Go ahead. Say they're plastic. I dare you. All right. That was a little rant. Sorry.
Good old Safari.
I do love it. I just wrote the Safari yesterday, actually.
And you didn't point that out?
No, that's when I saw the table. And I was like, wait, what? Like, because I hadn't noticed it before that. I was wondering if they were like, adding the poachers back in.
When we were there, when we did the safari last time, I just thought about this. When we were by the alligators, how they kind of come to a stop?
Crocodiles? Yeah.
Yeah. There were a whole bunch of people in one row who decided this was their opportunity to get up.
No.
Oh, yeah. And it did not go over well with the driver. And that speaker is pretty loud.
Yeah.
He is pretty much screaming into speakerphones to death, and they're just not having it. It was pretty entertaining.
Why would you stand up in the middle of that ride? That is probably the stupidest thing you could do.
They wanted to get better pictures down below.
Oh, no.
I was hoping one of them would fall out, but that didn't happen.
You wanted to watch a brutal, like, animal-induced feeding frenzy?
I shouldn't say that. I really don't wish ill upon anybody.
Exactly. Like, and then they'll have a taste for meat, and then, like, hunger for the flesh of man.
And the driver's like, please no one else stand up.
This is why we tell you not to stand up, folks. Expect lap bars after the next refurbishment. I have actually often wondered why they don't have lap bars on that ride.
I get it. It's not necessary. But every once in a while, you see some crazy who's like, I'm just going to stand up for a while.
Right. For no reason.
Right.
Okay, so moving along. Number 6 is one of my favorites. I don't know if you've ever done it.
What is it?
Agent P's World Showcase Adventure?
I haven't, but I've seen it enough. I know all about
it. Yeah, so this was refurbed. Originally, it was Kim Possible's World Showcase Adventure, and then people stopped remembering what Kim Possible was, so they changed it to the much more current and relevant Phineas and Ferb, which is now off the air, so I can't wait to see what's going to be next. But, like, I mean, this ride, it's essentially the same because, you know, it's an attraction. You walk through World Showcase with the phone, and you, like, send a signal to make something happen, and a scene will play for you. They updated all the animatronics to be, like, Doofenshmirtz and Perry the Platypus and stuff like that. And, you know, they even upgraded the phones where now it's not a flip phone anymore. Now it's like a smartphone.
Right.
So I like it a lot. Agent P's World Showcase Adventure. My goal is to do all of them. I actually haven't done any since I've been down here.
Really?
I haven't. You know, I got the phone once and I was going to do it. And then I was just like, I'm not going to do it. And then I left. So, yeah. All right. So number five is number five because I feel that it is a little controversial because some people liked it better the old way. Some people like it better the new way. And that is Test Track.
Where do you stand on this?
I like the new way.
I do, too.
I like the ability to design your own car. I think it adds a nice little like challenge. Like it adds a nice little gauntlet that I can throw down. You know, like if I'm there with friends or just strangers, and I could be like, "I bet you my car is going to just demolish yours in this."
Right.
And I'm not guessing. I know because I am that good at designing cars because I'm the best in the world at what I do, bub. And I'm saying this to a five-year-old.
How do you go about designing your car?
I try to make the Batmobile.
Oh, yeah?
Every time.
So no eco anything.
No. I'm trying to make the Batmobile.
Right.
And, like, you know, and I just make it like a tank because it's, you know, like that's my Batmobile is a tank. So,
I thought it was weird that, like, you know, of the four different, you know, like things you compete in, one of them is not like defenses, you know?
Yeah, like how well the car handles.
Yeah, but that's not like, you know, can it survive like a missile?
Well, if it's the Batmobile, it sure can.
I know, but you know, you're not going to get any points.
Actually,
for
it can. Because remember the Joker like hit the tumbler with the missile, and he had to like use the pod.
Yeah, I don't really count that as a Batmobile.
But that was definitely a Batmobile.
Was it?
How is it not a Batmobile? Because he never calls it the Batmobile.
It's the Tumblr. Something totally separate.
I hate that we couldn't... Little rant here. I hate that in the Nolanverse. I'm shocked they called him Batman. Shocked. Well, actually, no. They never really call him Batman. They would say the Batman. Or a Batman.
Created by Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. Because they would never say things like Batmobile. They never called Catwoman Catwoman. You know, like, I'm shocked they called him the Joker, to be perfectly honest. Anyway, that's not Disney. It is neither here nor there. Okay, moving along. Number four is The Seas with Nemo and Friends.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, like, this was an awesome retouch and refurb to a classic attraction. The classic attraction being the Living Seas. You took the Living Seas Pavilion, you changed it, you put a dark ride in the beginning of it, and then it was still the same Living Seas that it's always been at the end. You add Turtle Talk, you add, like, the Bruce thing, you add some fish from Nemo, and when the fish from Nemo are swimming around with the regular fish during the dark ride portion of it, singing Big Blue World, that's my favorite.
I agree with that.
And a really nice queue line, too. Like the sand dunes and stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm a fan.
I mean, that queue's so simple.
Yep.
But it's clearly, like, one of my favorites.
Right. I mean, like, you know, pound through that queue because you're never waiting. Get on the Clammobile, watch the cartoon fish swim with real fish, and then go watch a turtle talk to you. If you are morbid, have your children take a picture in the mouth of a giant shark. Which, you know.
You know, last time we were there, they had a photographer there.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. But to make it worse, we got our picture. I swear, it's the only picture in the entire trip. Didn't go to my band.
Because your band thought it was morbid that your children are in the mouth of a giant shark. Like, what are we teaching them? We're teaching our children to go inside the mouths of sharks now.
Why not?
Because sharks are heavenless killing machines that seek the blood of our children.
Oh, not in Finding Nemo, they're not.
they're trying to reform, but he still smells blood and his eyes go all weird. And I don't know, Pete.
You got some problems, Kevin.
I have a lot of issues with sharks, I know. but anyway, and I'm joking, folks. I know sharks are gentle creatures and they're being poached and whatever. But the... you also, so you can go do that, you can, you know, walk around, and you can watch adorable manatees eat heads of lettuce, which is my favorite thing.
I always do actually do that.
You gotta. You gotta go watch the manatee munch on a head of lettuce. I always feel bad for the one, because the one's tail's still all, like, you know, wrecked from that boat.
Yeah, but I don't look at that as bad. I look at that as good.
How is that good?
Well, because this is what Disney does, you know.
Like, it's good that Disney did it. Yeah, I feel bad for that manatee.
Sure, but he has a safe environment where he gets fed. And,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I like it.
Think it's easier on him
than being out in the wild.
Yeah,
probably.
So you're saying that that more people should drive their motorboats through manatee waters and.
There's only so much room at the seas.
That's not what Pete is saying, folks. Okay, so number three, we're getting down and dirty here. I would say, you know, normally this is where we're like, you know, any of the the top three could have been number one. No, our numbers 1, 2, and 3 were very clearly 1, 2, and 3 from the start. Number three is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
Now, not just the make sure your boat doesn't take on water.
Although, really, that's probably the most important one.
Yeah. And they just added the new Pirate Auctioneer animatronic, which is wonderful. But I'm talking about, like, a couple years back, more than a couple years back, when they added, I think it was like 05 or 06 or something like that when they did it, when they added Captain Jack Sparrow, Captain Barbossa, and Davy Jones to the attraction.
And they put in the mermaid... The skeleton.
They put in the mermaid skeleton. They put in the skeleton doing the ship, driving the ship, right?
Well, that's always been there.
Has that always been there?
Yeah,
it's been there.
You tell me. You thought that was like new?
I didn't. You know what? I didn't know, because before the refurb, I hadn't been on Pirates in a long time.
That's like a classic Pirates image.
Yeah.
I like that they've done things like, even when that really bad Pirates movie came out, that last one,
and they put Blackbeard in there.
Which I was okay with, just because it was, you know, new. But remember they had, like, the lights in the water, like it was, like, the mermaids
swimming?
Yeah,
they don't do that anymore.
I know, but I thought it was cool that at least they, you know, try to do that.
Where are the skeletons playing chess? I always look and I never see them.
They're down in the walkthrough, yeah. They're down and you got to look down. You know, sometimes you see, like, bars.
Yeah.
Like, you got to look down. They're in, like, a room in the bottom.
You can still hear the mermaids singing in that area, but you can't see the lights.
Right.
I actually kind of liked the lights for the mermaids.
Yeah, they were okay.
I always tell people that haven't been on it before, I'm like, oh, Ariel's in this ride. And they're like, where? And then I show them the skeleton, and I'm like, right there. Poachers. It's like Animal Kingdom all over again. So, Pirates, awesome. Now, you know what? I think they should have just gotten rid of Blackbeard from the attraction when they refurbed it, but now it's Blackbeard and Davy Jones, like one after the other.
Yeah, I'm weirded out by that. I'd prefer one or the other, even if they rotated them.
Yeah, I mean, I just like Davy Jones. I'm a big Davy Jones fan. He makes more sense to appear as like a specter before you.
I would have much rather seen the Davy Jones animatronics.
Oh, it would have been so cool. Now, when you went on Pirates, did you get wet?
Did not.
Every time I get wet now, because like with that drop, the way they do it now, for some reason now you get wet on it.
Oh, that's not true. We did get a little wet in the drop. I wasn't thinking the drop. Yeah, a little
bit. Sometimes you get wet in the Barbossa scene too, because like if a cannonball like explodes.
I told you one time I got like soaked.
Yeah,
that was a while ago though. That was.
I wish they would put Barbossa back in his pirate uniform though. He's still in the naval uniform.
I know.
I don't love it. Or privateer uniform, as it were. I think he's a privateer.
Okay.
Privateers used to be paid by like companies or by like royalty to sack ships for them. So they were like being paid to be pirates, basically.
See, now that's the kind of pirate you want to be.
Yeah, right? So I'm paying your salary. Number two is my favorite Disney attraction and had a heck of a refurb a couple years back.
And Dumbo.
That is the Haunted Mansion.
Oh.
The Dumbo could have been a good honorable mention.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they did move it, add a second one, add the water element, change up the queue. That probably should have been on the list, Pete.
Oh. Maybe did we just think of that now?
Maybe could have knocked off O Canada.
You probably would not have done that.
Probably not. I probably would have knocked off, like, Asian P or something like that. Or Kilimanjaro Safaris. But then we wouldn't have gotten to talk about poachers again. Haunted Mansion. So, first and foremost, they changed up the queue. They made the queue very interactive. You've got, like, the busts where you have to, like, figure out who was the murderer in those like, four busts.
Yep.
You've got the music area where, like, you touch, like, the horns and stuff on the grave and you hear them play. The organ is my favorite one to do because the organ's the one that usually works. If you touch the cat there, it, like, sometimes will meow, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. Then as you round Master Gracie's grave, you find Prudence, the poet, and you can actually speak and give her the answers. Do kids ever do that?
No.
Yeah,
we've seen it, but...
Like, she gives you the question, and then you could speak the answer into it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's, like, a spot to speak. And then they have, like, I love the sailor's tomb.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You hear the sneezing, and then, like, the water comes out of it. And what's funny is actually right by the sailor's tomb is the new location of the bride's ring embedded in the ground.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. There used to be a garbage can right by it, but now it's kind of like if you're looking, like, as you're coming through the queue, it's off to the right-hand side of the sailor's tomb. And it's, like, in a little corner, and it's just embedded in the ground. Originally, it was just a, like, a pole that got taken away that left behind a little ring in the ground, and everyone said, oh, it's the bride's ring from the haunted man from the attic. And when they refurbed the queue, they took the ring out because they were refurbing it, but they put an actual, like, ring in the ground to keep it going, which is, that was a nice little bit of fan service.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah. And then in the actual Haunted Mansion attraction, they also made some changes. You've got a, now you've got that upside down staircase room where before, remember,
yep.
It used to be spiders, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So now you got the upside down staircase room, which I don't remember the technical name for that. There's, like, a name for that kind of, like, looking room. And then, of course, at the end, the main event is the hitchhiking ghost animations. Like, where they switch your head or they, you know.
It's weird. Having done Disneyland last year and doing the Haunted Mansion there, you know, Disneyland's, like, synonymous with the Haunted Mansion. But it's still, like, old school there.
Really? They didn't change up the hitchhiking ghosts?
Nope. Or
where is your Disneyland now, Pete?
Or they have the Hatbox Ghosts.
They do, and the Hatbox Ghost is awesome.
But the footprints aren't on the steps.
Oh.
Yeah, and the hardest thing for me is that the Haunted Mansion there is not very photogenic. It's such a cool building. You're like, no, that's really cool. But you don't really get a good vantage point of it because there's just stuff everywhere.
Right.
So... You know, I always say how I think Pirates in Disneyland is way better and Small World is way better. But, you know, you got to give the nod to Orlando's Haunted Mansion. That's for
right.
Sure.
Home team represent Orlando, Haunted Mansion, Gracie Manor, Ghouls. Did they even put them in March Magic this year? They can't have another year where it comes down to, like, Pirates versus Haunted Mansion.
I know. I just feel weird about it.
Did it come down to Pirates and Haunted Mansion again last year?
Probably.
I want to say it wasn't Pirates. It was something else. Because I don't think Pirates might not. No, it was definitely in it. But I don't know. Okay, so number one, obviously, there's only one major player here left. It is the single greatest refurbishment in the history of Disney. There's not even a debate in this category, Pete. Not even a debate. We decided we were doing this list. We were like, well, we know what number one is. And that is Star Tours, The Adventures Continue.
Definitely.
I mean, everything got it. Everything from the queue to the characters in the queue. I mean, that was a long refurb. You know, like, you changed up those robots. You changed up that whole area. You made it more of a baggage claim area. You got, you changed even the costumes for the cast members. You changed the video. You put C-3PO in place of Captain Rex. You put Captain Rex in the queue now. So much going on there. And, of course, the main event of it is the fact that you have four different beginnings and three different endings. you know.
Is that it?
What? I think that's
24 and 3?
I think so. Cause it used to be 3 and 3, didn't it? Well, because, I mean, unless you're counting, like, you can get the Vader opening or you can get the droid opening.
Right, right.
And then you can get the four different openings, which are, everyone gets Jakku right now because it's
right.
Force Awakens. But it's Jakku, Hoth, Tatooine, and there was one other one for the beginning. I don't remember which one it was. There is definitely one other one. What am I missing?
I don't know.
But then you can get either BB-8, Admiral Akbar, Princess Leia, or Yoda as your transmission. And then you can get Geonosis, which is the best one, Naboo, or Kashyyyk. Oh, Coruscant.
Yeah, I don't like the Coruscant one.
I don't either, because it feels like a plane crash.
Yeah.
But isn't Coruscant an ending? Maybe not.
No, it is, I think.
So there's four endings? Three begins?
Which one's Boba Fett in?
Geonosis.
Yeah, that one's great.
That's the best one to get. Because it's got Boba Fett, the Death Star, and Darth Vader in it. Like, that is clearly the jackpot that you get at the end.
Yeah, that's the one. I told you when we went to Disneyland, we got that one. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, that's it? No need to ride this again?
And your son was the Rebel Spy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Can't beat that, right?
If you're the Rebel Spy, Boba Fett's coming after you.
I know.
So... You know, you have that going for you. When I was Rebel Spy and I got Boba Fett, I almost surrendered. I tried. I didn't want, you know, I was upset. I didn't want him to get hurt.
And they were like, sir, please sit down.
They were like, sir, keep your seatbelt on. You're going to fall out and get eaten by crocodiles. but yeah, so, I mean, what a fantastic refurbishment. And, you know, I look forward to see if they're going to tweak it at all. When Star Wars Land is built.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that this, you know, this refurb had nothing to do with Disney's acquisition of Star Wars,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, long before. I mean, because, let's face it. You look at this thing, it's got Lucas's fingerprints all over it.
Yep.
It's super CGI. It's you know, more prequel than anything. You know, very Lucas-based.
But fun.
So you want to hear what our friends around the world had to say about this?
Yeah, let's do it.
One day I'm wondering if I'm going to be like, so Pete, you want to hear what our friends around the world had to say? And you'd be like, not really.
But I'm always interested.
I know. So you guys were chatty on this one. Steven Sanders says Star Tours.
Wait, Steve Sanders?
Steven Sanders.
Like Steve Sanders.
What are you talking about?
Like of 90210 fame.
No.
Oh.
He says, I was a fan of the first part, but 2.0 blew it out of the water. Thanks, Jason Sorrell, for leaving this legacy before you defected to the dark side of Universal. Adam Blistein says, Star Tours for me. Love that the ride is different or supposed to be different each time. Scott Farney says, Haunted Mansion end scene. The finale was greatly plus thanks to the modern tech. They took a great ride and made it better. The effects of having your head forcibly removed from your body and swap with your friend's head is a great effect. Or it could be traumatizing to some. Chris Giselli says, as a Star Wars nut, it's easy for me to say Star Tours. Also, like the Tower of Terror refurb that made each elevator ride unique. That is also a true one. You know, Tower of Terror used to be, you know, uniform. It was just you dropped. But now they do it multiple times. Each time is different, whatnot. Tim Elbing says, this is a tough one. It's easier to tell you that the refurbs that I didn't like, but I'm going to go with Haunted Mansion with the new queue, the M.C. Escher style. That's what M.C. Escher style stair room, upgraded Madame Leota, and the new effects at the end of the ride. Yeah, they did upgrade Madame Leota.
Yep.
Gave her a new voice and everything. Storybook Julius from over at Storybook Radio is saying, adding the drop sequence variations to Tower of Terror was a great update. Christina McSheffrey says, I loved the Haunted Mansion upgrades, especially the head swapping at the end. But the upgrade to Spaceship Earth was a fun add. We always get such a kick out of the video at the end. Obviously, Pete, we didn't talk about that because, it's a bit, you know, a bit of a sore subject with us because Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and I love the video, too, and I saved them, and my kids watched them, and it's a great thing. But, man, that Jeremy Irons was
Dame Judy,
best.
Get out of here.
I thank the Phoenicians, though.
Reading 13 Hostiles on the third floor. How about I drop you off on the second? He's going to be such a good Alfred.
I hope.
All right, so Angie Ray Wright says Haunted Mansion. Brittany O'Hara says, I really enjoy the Star Tours upgrades. I like how every time you go, it is never quite the same. I also enjoy the new queue area for the Haunted Mansion. Katie Kauser says, my new favorite upgrade, not so much a ride of attraction, is the area to watch Wishes. Oh, she's up with the hub. It's so spacious, easy to relax, and really be immersed in the Wishes fireworks spectacular. That's if, you know, if you fast pass it, you're able to get in that area. But yeah, that hub expansion is can't miss. Gigi Pistone says, Pirates of the Caribbean. I love all the Johnny Depp animatronics they added. I also love that you get semi-splashed now. Dimitri Ivanis from the Extra Magic Hour checking in. He says, the Haunted Mansion's Escher Stairs was a wonderful addition, second only to the Ellen overlay of Universe of Energy. Hear me out. That attraction was tired and definitely not connecting with a 90s audience. The addition of Ellen and the Jeopardy video breathed much-needed new life into Universe of Energy and gave it a whole new identity.
You know, secretly, I love that ride.
I know. I had not been thinking about it. That was, you know, about that one. Kate Smith from Mouselaneous Discussion says, the random drops a Tower of Terror, so you never know what to expect. Dee Dee Herring says, Haunted Mansion, without a doubt. The queue, the hitchhiking ghosts, the attic, the staircase, so awesome. Just wish they would figure out a way to fix the nightmare of the indoor queue before loading. Yeah, that queue isn't wonderful. Jamie Doris says, on our last trip, I was, number one, too excited about my kid being the Rebel Spy to notice the Star Tours upgrades. Two, too horrified for her during Tower of Terror to appreciate the randomness. And three, still recovering from her Tower of Terror trauma to notice the Haunted Mansion changes. By way of explanation, my daughter is seven. She went on a mini tower drop at a local carnival and loved it. It obviously didn't compare to the Tower of Terror, but she was gung-ho with it and went to DHS. It was our first day and our first ride. It was one of the worst mistakes I've ever made. The rest of the trip was spent avoiding rides that might go fast or down.
You know, we did that exact same thing. Ethan, we were at a local carnival. He went on one of these drop rides. It was pretty tall and was like, oh, I can't wait to do Tower of Terror. I guess he was like five at the time. And he was like, I want to do it. He did Tower of Terror. And then him and my wife came off that ride traumatized.
Oh, goodness.
Like, she was, I think she was worse than him.
I don't like it either, as we've detailed on the show. Julie Highland says, I'm with Tim. I think it was easier to think of ones I don't like and things I miss. But I do like Wishes as opposed to the earlier fireworks. Oh, that's, you know, adding Wishes instead. I think Walt Disney World needs new dark rides and improvements of existing ones. I should add that I like the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train as a general upgrade to Fantasyland Magic Kingdom. All right, that's not exactly what we're talking about here, but I accept the premise. Ben Power says, I'm torn between the little things like the lighting upgrades and new animatronics on Under the Sea, or maybe ones like New Fantasyland. Both are what make Disney great and what keeps me going back. Katarina Dupre, who was guest co-host for the Extra Magic Hour for about a month and did an awesome job, said the first time they returned to Pirates of the Caribbean, the Pirates movie came out when I was in middle school and I was obsessed. And then when they added Captain Jack, I was over the moon. I was excited to finally see it after all the refurb. Adam Rose, our friend from across the pond over in the UK, we had him on the show once before, says Tower of Terror, never the same ride twice since the upgrade. The one when you think it's over but shoots straight back up to the top is the holy grail of Tower of Terror rides. That happened to me. You think it's over and then it shoots you back up one more time. I was like, no. Caitlin Haley says the new animatronics at the end of the Grand Fiesta Tour. Just saw for the first time and they make such a huge difference. Love those three caballeros. Jeanette Barcena says, I like the addition of Blackbeard, Mermaids, and Johnny Depp to Pirates and the new Star Tours. Michael Bobichael says, I also have to go with Star Tours. They turned a decent ride into a great one. Tim Hamlin says, I got to go with Pirates. Johnny Depp was a great addition. He said, I actually wrote Test Track yesterday for the first time since it's been refurbed. I liked the old one better. I missed the shop floor. And Laura Brzezinski Demers says, Pirates of the Caribbean. I kind of want to take the animatronic Johnny Depp home with me. On the opposite spectrum, my least favorite upgrade is Journey into Imagination. Ugh, Figment deserves better. Oh, that's true. That was one we didn't talk about. Yeah. All right, and that is what our friends around the world had to say this week about this topic, Pete.
You know, I think Memory Maker is a fantastic, you know, refurb of the photo system, if you will.
That's true. That's the box.
the best merchandise refurb is Memento Mori.
Yes, agreed. That's, but I was trying to avoid like things that were refurbs, and like I wanted things that like basically stayed the same but changed in some way.
Right.
You know, like Star Tours or Haunted Mansion, like not something that like Yankee Candle closed down to become a whole different shop. Otherwise, that would have totally been on the list because I love that store. All right. So anything else you want to add?
No, that's about it.
Well, that's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Please give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Two Men and the Mouse. We are on Twitter at Two Men and the Mouse, Instagram as White Dragon PN and the White Dragon Podcast Network is also on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and Twitter at White Dragon PN. You can also check out our Facebook discussion group where you can talk Disney with us all day, every day, 7 days a week. And you can ask questions. It's much easier to get a question asked in the group than to message the Two Men and the Mouse like page, because I don't always see that right away. So yeah, join it. It's facebook.com/groups/Two Men and the Mouse. That way, if you know, I can't get to the question, somebody else probably will. Okay, so if you want your questions answered next week with Disney and Universal expert Dave Weichert in the house, send an email to questions@twomenandthemouse.com. I'll also be posting a thread for questions about Disney and Universal in the Facebook discussion group. So if you like the show, please just do us the honor of sharing it. Share it with a friend, a family member. Tweet it out. Talk it up. Post it on your Facebook. Give us a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us tremendously, and it's only through your kind words that this show will continue to grow and prosper. Folks, if you love Peter Mandel and his great comic book store, Rogue Comics, check him out in Cranford, New Jersey at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. It is the home of Two Men and the Mouse. And you can check him out online at roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. Our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, can always be found on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or you can email him, dave@magicaltravel.com. And if you are looking for that special recipe for your next dinner party, check out thecookandwookie.com. And if you need a stroller or crib on your next Walt Disney World vacation, please check out kingdomstrollers.com, a fraction of the price that you pay in Walt Disney World for much, much higher quality of product. And for me, folks, please check out Like My Author page over at facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor. All right. Thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
You ready for next week? Having Dave on?
Yeah, I'm totally. I'm always ready to have Dave.
It's always an adventure when Dave's here. I love it.
Absolutely. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. And we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.